Introduced what's going to happen tonight by saying that I was going to give my testimony like I did in El Salvador. And so I thought I better correct that. I'm not going to be talking about my conversion experience. I'm going to be talking about a 24-hour period in my life where I almost lost it. My life, that is. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. That was what Pastor David asked me to talk about. And so I trust most of you who don't have to go to the Markham Fair tonight will be here with us to hear these testimonies. I should mention to you all the missionaries that we have in World Partners Canada. There's a one or two page form that's in a little blue book outside in the Welcome Center area. There's actually a big missions board, and under there a blue book, and it gives you some information on each of them. And so as you're praying for our missionaries, if you want to look at that sometimes when you're in the church and get more information, feel free to do that. And there's two pages on Donald and Lorraine Gingras, too. They come from large French Canadian families and caring parents that had strong Catholic backgrounds. They gave their hearts and lives to Christ as adults. They both graduated from Briarcrest Bible School and Seminary, and both of them are teachers by trade and a number of other things they do. Donald even worked for the government in Quebec in terms of recreation and had a sports company and has been a church planter and numbers of other things. So, and has also, of course, written a book that you'll hear about today, and God has given him many different opportunities. They are also part of Revival Fellowship Canada, as well as missionaries with the World Partners Canada, have been for a number of years. Pastor David had them in his church in Bonavista a number of years ago, and when they were in contact and Pastor David knew he was going to be away this week, he quickly got to Donald, knowing that for the next 3 days, Donald's going to be at a pastor's conference in Stainer, and so he got him on the way through to come and to speak. And we're really looking forward to Reverend Donald Gingras sharing the Word of God with us today.
Good morning. I would like to present to you my wife, Lorraine. Here she is. She's my French connection. We have a wonderful message in the gospel. It's a true message, and you're going to hear about this today as a token of my testimony and how this ministry of reconciliation can apply practically. And I was a hockey coach, so I like things that are practical. And I like theology that can be alive and that we can practice in our life. But we're mom and dad. We have two children. And by God's grace, we got to know the Lord at 36, 35. I was 36, my wife was 35, and 2 years later we were in Briarcrest Bible College. And our kids could live and experience Christian faith, and we experienced other things as well. And now we have six grandchildren, and the seventh is on his way, so we're blessed as father and mother. I don't know if we're back with the big family in Quebec, but our son and daughter are above the average in Quebec. It's about 1.3 per family, and we have 4 and 3, so we're kind of doing pretty good. Anyway, would you take your Bible at Genesis 11? I want to show you where my life was before becoming a Christian and give you a biblical illustration. Now the whole world was one language and a common speech. A man moved eastward. They have found a plain in China and settled there. They said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reached to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves, not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building, and the Lord says that if, as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us come down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city as a result. This is why it is called Babel, because they were there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Let's pray. Father, as we open your word and share what you have been writing, the story you have been writing in my life, in my wife's life and family, we pray that you will give to each one of us a word that is life, heart, and mind transforming. So, Lord, that we might glorify you and say, yes, we have a powerful God, we have an amazing God, and we might praise you together for this. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was 5.5 years old, I used to run. We had a gang, you know, about gang. This is my French accent, anyway. We had gang, and we used to be street fighting with English people. And I was the little bugger, you know. I would go after them and, you know, bug them and run. They would run after me, and my friends were waiting in the bush, hiding with slingshot and baseball bat just to hit them. And so later I was very successful in baseball to steal bases because I run fast. So Mr. Fanning from the Expos of Montreal, I had a tryout with the Expos. He said, how come you're running so fast? So, I was a little bit shy to tell him where I learned to run fast. But later in life, I had some, as a teenager, we were street fighting with the English people in the at the border of the Catholic parish. They lived there at the border, so the Catholic parish was really for the Catholic. And outside of the parish were those Protestants going to hell. And we were street fighting with them. And that place was called Notre Dame Garden. Yeah, English, French and English name. Very funny. Interesting. And later I had another experience. I taught in an English school, so to improve my, well, probably to show some, to be politically correct, to improve my English. But I had a very bad experience. The kids were so upset in my phys ed class that I was asked to teach French immersion in an English school. So teach phys ed to English kids. They were mad after me because I taught, I spoke French, and they just wanted to play and have fun, and they became so mad of that French immersion program that they started to wait for me to beat me up after school. And that just reinforced my understanding of French and English. And I became separatist. I joined the separatist party, and for me that was the way to go. That was the solution. No other way, and say, we got to make this thing happen. And I joined the separatist party. In a time of my life where, like the Tower of Babel, you know, I had all the ingredients. This is what the text says. God is saying they had one goal, and this is what they started to accomplish, and they were together. They have all the ingredients for a successful result. So where my life at 33 years old, I had all the ingredients to be successful. And my friend made a big party for me, a roast party. And because they saw me as a role model in sports, as a family, as a father, as a mother, well, they didn't know what was behind the curtain in my marriage. You know, it was like a castle of cards falling apart, but they saw us, they came to us for counsel, for husband and wife, and for parents, and my wife and I kind of looked at each other, and we were surprised that people would ask us for counsel because of what we were living. But what do? You know, when you don't know better, you try to do your best, but even though you try to hold your life And you're struggling, you're hurting, you don't want to hurt people more, so you get into that ball game. But finally, one evening at 33 years old, interesting, 33, they had a party, a roast party, and that night I called it the worship service to Donald, worship evening, and the people just praised me for all the honor and all the things I've been doing in sports and as a businessman and you name it. And so I was a nice Tower of Babel, really successful kind of. And that evening my best friend came to me and he said, Donald, that's very interesting, you know, this is a party that everybody would dream to have personally. And he said, but I look in your eyes deep, and he said, I've never seen you so sad. What's wrong? And he knew he was my friend. He was my best friend. And I said, if this is what life is about, it's not worth living. I just feel like dying. And I remember the place. The orchestra was playing music behind, people were dancing, and we were just eyeball to eyeball, and I was responding that. And last Christmas, I met him again 20 years later, and he said, Donald, I still remember what you told me at the time, that you. But he knows, I know better now. God gave me the grace. For 3 years, we went into that, and 3 years later, God allowed me to get to know him. My wife and I had the privilege to accept the Lord together, to be reconciled with God, and that started to change things. So imagine, God has a sense of humor. I was a separatist with that mindset, with that foundation. Does foundation matter? It does. It does. But God wants to renew our mind. God wants to transform our life. Christianity is about life being transformed from the background, from the wrong foundation we have been. So I was sitting on funny separatist and a secular foundation, and my marriage was shaky, and we accepted the Lord. We got reconciled with God. And God, with a sense of humor, sent me to study my theology, Western Canada, with English people. I said, what's this exactly? We did, and two weeks after being there, you know, we learned English there, but I kept my accent. You know, Quebecois love their culture. We hear that, but I don't serve culture. I love culture, but I don't serve my culture. I serve Jesus. And so 2 weeks after being there, I met someone in the hall, probably a brother in Christ. You know, I went to Briarcrest Bible College. I said, I'm going to heaven. This is a town, a Christian town, Bible college, so I should be in heaven. And I met a guy. I said, hi, how are you doing? You know, I was trying to be nice and speak English. And he looked at me, and he just pointed his finger in my face, and he said, what's wrong with you, Quebecois? And I've been a hockey coach teaching my player, never look down on your opponent. Don't let your opponent to intimidate you. And there I was in my flesh debating with this guy, put his finger in my face, and it said, what's wrong with you, Quebecois? And there was a little voice, show him you're a Quebecois, and a Latin blood, but there was another voice saying, you stay calm, you stay quiet. I'm going to show you another way. And I asked him, I said, what's wrong? What do you mean? What do you want to tell me? And he started to talk. And I tell you, I'll be very honest. I just felt as if he was unloading a garbage truck on me. And I would have never allowed this to happen if I wouldn't be a Christian. But I was a Christian, and I needed to behave well. I was carrying Quebec reputation on my shoulder, kind of. You know, but these things happen within a couple of seconds, and you're kind of chewing, and what should I do? What should I be doing? But the Lord just took control of me. And as soon as he started to talk and explain, I didn't see the garbage he was unloading on me. I started to feel for the first time the pain of an English person. That was new. And when he was finished, before I would have said, you English deserve that. You know, look at all that you have done to us because of my window of history. What I've been taught from my window. The title of my book is Window of Hope. It is God's window, of course. But from my window, I would have said, you deserve that. Look what you have done to us. From the things, from the angle that we understand life. And he, but when he was finished, I said, my dear brother, would you forgive us for what you have done, we have done to you? And this guy just broke in tears. He was broken. And I follow, I cry myself. And said, what's going on here? It was as if God would come the picture and see, you see, Donald, you have your window of history. And this guy has, from BC, has his window of history. But here is my window. And this window is a window of reconciliation. And this is why Jesus died, so we might be reconciled with God, being filled with God's love, and then provide this love to each other and carry the ministry, by God's grace, carry the ministry of reconciliation. So there I was, former separatist, God leading me to meet an English brother to be, to have a rude confrontation and then to make me understand, to give me the revelation of the ministry of reconciliation. And this is, sometimes we carry stuff in our Christian life, and God wants to, it's not for nothing that the Lord says we have to go through the renewing of our mind. We carry baggage. One of the things, for instance, how do we resolve conflict? Okay, so before we carry stuff from the beginning, from mom and dad, from other generation, and I'll show you another example after. So for me, I was carrying my background, my separatist background, and God wanted to renew my mind, and God wanted to do things His way. And after that, I remember, I think we had the referendum, and I needed to make a vote. That was very interesting. Some people say, you're going to be challenged now. There was no challenge, because this is what God says. Now you're my child. Can you make a decision that will hurt your neighbor? If you're my child, if you claim you have God's love in you, can you act in a way that will hurt your neighbor? It was not complicated. So I said, no, Lord, I cannot do. So here's my choice. I love my neighbor. Is he English? Is he Chinese? Japanese? Russian? Doesn't matter. It's a people. And I am God's ambassador carrying the ministry of reconciliation. This is what counts. In my book, I discussed with Quebec as a person. I personify Quebec. And I said to Quebec, said, don't you love your culture now? I said, yes, I love my culture. I love my flag. I love my... But I said, you know what? I don't serve culture. I serve Jesus. And Jesus is my master. It's not nationalism. But I love who we are. I love our language. What happened? My book is about a survey of 400 years of the history of Canada. And we went back. In the book, I personify Quebec because he's saying, I have a debate within me. Should I leave the family or should I stay in the family, Canadian family? And I sent him to see his counselor. The book is some sort of a drama, but the facts are true. And this, I and then the counselor asked him his story, and he started to say that, yeah, I've been raised in Europe. I've been, and we were very successful in Europe. And mom and dad, we used to fight with English people from the 10th to the 15th century. So he said to his counselor, he said, you know, we didn't learn to fight in Canada, French and English. We learned that in Europe, and we carry this in America. So is there other things you carry? Yes, those religious intolerance toward any other who would believe differently than we did. We carry this in America. And is there another thing? Yes, bloody persecution toward those who are in other religion. So we carry this in America. And then in America, we were here to do business, the business of fur. And that was our future, that the mother country said, this is your future. So we came here, and as we arrived here, we found again the English. Because these guys are businessmen, they know how to make business and how to make profit. And they were here because they had a vision for America. And so we were here again we had to keep fighting with them, and we had to fight with the Indian people. And what we did to the Indian, that was very easy. We got the training for that. And in order to enslave the Indian, we would come on our boat and get on America's land with two things. The men would carry a barrel of alcohol on their left shoulder, and on the other shoulder, a gun. So we would get the Indian to drink and get used and make them alcoholic. And then those rebellious, we would take the gun and put the gun on their shoulder so they would obey and take part of the fur trade on our side. And there were other Indians working with the English as well. So we went through that for 200 years, and finally we didn't understand things like we were forced. We were not allowed by the mother country, by mom and dad. We were not allowed to develop our business, our economy, so we have been only serving as slave, white slave. We have been serving friends to enrich friends. And finally, because France, the mother country, didn't want to protect us enough, we lost America to the English. And then here's the conquest, 1760. The conquest is this. There are three group of children, French, English, and Native. And then we are forced to live together like a blended family. In a blended family, children don't have a say. They are forced to live together. So Canada started in 1760, not in 1867. It started as a blended family as a result of the conquest. And then in 1867, Canada decided to call itself Canada, to give a new face, to put some sort of some Christian value or Christian, it was based on a new national anthem, putting God into it, and they put a verse 72:8 from one ocean to the other ocean, and that gives a little bit of Christian flavor. But was really Canada a Christian country? No, because when you look, there were almost four centuries of fighting with each other, French, English, and Native people. And this is the foundation of our country. Friends, brother, and sister, don't take for granted that this country is Christian. This country have been founded. Jesus said, if you build on the sand, you're going to reap when the storm comes. But if you build on the rock, who is the rock? The rock is Jesus Christ. And this country has not been built on the rock. It has been built on religion, organized religion. And the story of Canada is the story of two competing religions, man-made organized religion, mainline Protestant and mainline Catholic, that has been fighting with each other to enforce, to make sure they would control the business of fur. And it was all about business, and today we're reaping. In 1960, after the conquest from 1760 to 1960, the church made a deal with the English, so the Frenchmen would not join the American rebellious people that wanted to do the American Revolution. So we had an agreement. We could live in our parish, we could speak French, and we could stay Catholic. We had a deal with the British government. But listen to this, from 1760, the conquest, to 1960, the Quiet Revolution, we live isolated in our parish. We live separated. So when you live, if I make you live 200 years separated, what do you become? Tell me. Separatist. So as a process, we became separatist. And whatever was outside of the parish was not good. And we were blended. Canada was a blended family. And the Protestants were going to hell, we were told. And the French, they were outside of the parish. They were in the business. And the priest did not allow us to do business. We were forbidden to do any business. The only who could take school were those to become doctor, notary, or a teacher, a priest. And that was it. Those were encouraged to take a degree three, and we were encouraged to be farmer. And we were told and preached, and I heard that in 1955. I was 5 years old. I heard the priest preaching, "We are born for little bread," French Canadian. "We are born for little bread." In 1960, we were the white race people in all the world the least instructed, because we have been kept under the bondage of the church that kept us in the parish and say, "Yeah, we value farming here. We don't value school." As a result, the English in 1960, the English had all, they had the control of the economy and the business. And then the FLQ came and they said, because of the English, we lost everything at the conquest. We lost nothing, we had nothing. And then the FLQ started a war against the English with terrorism. And terrorism is not only for Afghanistan and is not only for Iraq. We went through that here, the same thing. So, foundation matters. It's really important to understand what we carry. What do we carry us, ourselves? What do you carry in your Christian life? We never learn, we sit in Canada, something that we need to take in consideration, even Christian here in a church, in our family, in our couples. We have reap, Bible says you reap what you have sown. We reap in Canada ongoing broken relationship, and we have not been taught to resolve conflict. And the Bible says when you get hurt, you try to stay away from people, you build walls, or you will hurt people so you keep them away from you. Cain just hurt Abel. Joseph's brother, they were so jealous that they tried to hide him, to get him away from their face, because he was successful and they were not. And he was the favorite of his father. Adam and Eve, when they broke that relationship with God, they tried to avoid God. So these are the strategy we do. And we have learned in Canada, we have learned French, English, and Native. This country has been built on unresolved broken relationship. What do we do as Christian? We carry those background. And we need to learn from the Word of God that God has an interest that we resolve our conflict as husband and wife, as father and mother, with our children, church, brother and sister in the church, and with the neighborhood. And if we're not willing to model and to be committed to the ministry of reconciliation, then we have no right to walk in the street of Toronto, of Montreal, for peace, if we don't model those things. I know people who have been walking for peace in the street of Montreal. They walk for peace with their Quebec flag, willing to destroy the country, to split the country, no matter what. Can you walk for peace with that kind of thinking? I've known people that have been walking for peace in the street of Montreal, but people that have been running to abandon their children. How can you run for peace? As Christian, we need to go to walk on God's agenda and to understand that there are some things that we need to be delivered. God delivered me from separatist mindset and to renew my mind, to use me to write a book, to see the need of reconciliation across Canada. So this is a powerful application. I praise God for that. I used to dream for a Stanley Cup as a hockey coach, but you know, what I'm doing today is much more important. This book can influence people across the country, you know. And this is amazing. This is about love. This is about God loving people. I'm going to ask my wife to come and close this message.
Good morning.
Okay. Well, we know these things about the country, about our background, because we were in BrierCrest for 3 years, and our people in the province don't know the Lord. We need the Lord. And we are now children of God. And God is saying in 2 Chronicles, if my people humble themselves and pray, and I know it in French, but si mon peuple s'humilie, prie et cherche ma face, se détourne de ses mauvaises voies, je vais guérir son pays. Je vais...
If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Don't you think that our land need healing? We need healing. And because of we are now child of God, well, we know, we have understood the bad reaction we had because of the many hurts that we have in our many generation and our life. We carry that in our life as a person. We carry that as a couple. And often we give the same reaction to our children. So we want to experiment what God is asking us, is to ask your forgiveness for our bad reaction to the suffering. And we want to break the chain of the generational sin that is following us here in Canada. And so I want to ask your forgiveness for our bad reaction, not because our people know God, but because we, as a Christian, we know God. And he wants us to do that. He wants us to do it. And that's what, would you forgive us for the hurt that we put on you? Would you forgive us? Yeah. So let's pray. So dear Lord, we come to you because we know you. And we come to you, we want to break the chain of the generational sin that is following us from generation to generation, the sin of hatred, of bitterness, of the walls that we put on to protect ourselves against each other. And Lord, we ask your forgiveness, and we ask you to deliver us from these sins, and that you will bring your reconciliation in our life so that we can talk to each other, and that you bring back the like Donald talked about the Tower of Babel, that the confusion that there is within the languages and different languages. And Lord, it's only by the Holy Spirit that we can understand each other. And Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit has come into me and to us, that many of us that are here. And Lord, we want your Holy Spirit to take over, to control our life, and to fill us, and to fill us with the fruit of the Spirit, that one of it is peace and self-control and love to each other. And thank you, Lord, for what you will do in our life, in our country too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Have a seat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have a seat.